Today's security story is the top scored item in our security and privacy cluster, and it's going to make some people uncomfortable. F-Droid published an advisory about Android malware, and the uncomfortable part is the vector. The post details malware distributed through channels that users might have assumed were safer than the Play Store. The HN score of 722 and 287 comments reflect how much this struck a nerve.
The F-Droid angle here is important context. F-Droid is the open-source Android app repository that privacy-conscious users often turn to precisely because it's not Google's ecosystem. The fact that malware analysis is coming from F-Droid suggests either that malware is targeting F-Droid users specifically, or that F-Droid caught something the mainstream reporting hasn't fully characterized yet. The comment thread is piecing together the technical details, and there's active debate about attribution and whether "from Google" in the headline refers to Google's infrastructure being abused, or to something else.
What's consistent with the broader Android security landscape is the sophistication of the delivery mechanism. Modern Android malware increasingly doesn't rely on users doing obviously risky things. It exploits legitimate-looking app updates, abuses Android's accessibility APIs, and in some cases leverages supply chain compromises of SDKs that legitimate developers include without realizing the risk. The attack surface has grown as the Android ecosystem has grown.
The Google EU antitrust story connects here in an interesting way. Google just lost its appeal against a $4.7 billion fine. That's 4.125 billion euros, stemming from the European Commission's 2018 ruling that Google illegally required Android device manufacturers to pre-install Google Search and Chrome. The Court of Justice of the European Union upheld the fine in full. This is the conclusion of an 8-year legal process.
This is a good moment to walk through what the antitrust argument actually was, because it's more nuanced than Google is big, therefore illegal. The Sherman Antitrust Act in the US and its European equivalents don't prohibit being dominant. They prohibit using dominance in one market to foreclose competition in another. Google's position was that bundling Chrome and search with Android licensing was efficient. Manufacturers got a free, well-tested OS, and Google got distribution. The EU's position was that this arrangement structurally prevented competing browsers and search engines from reaching consumers on the dominant mobile platform. The legal standard is whether the behavior is exclusionary beyond any pro-competitive justification.
Right. And market share alone genuinely isn't enough for an antitrust violation. That's worth emphasizing. A company with 90% market share that got there by being the best product hasn't necessarily violated antitrust law. What the EU found was that Google used contractual leverage over manufacturers to maintain that share in a way that harmed competition. The distinction is between winning competition and preventing competition. The court agreed with the commission that Google had crossed that line, and $4.7 billion is the result.
The business implication going forward is that Google now operates Android licensing under modified rules in Europe that require genuine choice screens. The question the HN comment thread is debating is whether those behavioral remedies have actually changed competitive dynamics, or whether Google's position is so entrenched that the fine is effectively the cost of doing business, and the market structure hasn't materially shifted.
Meanwhile, Google published something genuinely interesting on the privacy side. They're open sourcing their zero-knowledge proof technology for age assurance. The concept is elegant. Instead of submitting your birth date or ID to a website to prove you're above a certain age, a zero-knowledge proof lets you demonstrate you satisfy the age condition without revealing any underlying personal information. The website learns, this person is over 18.
The HN thread of 168 comments is wrestling with the implementation questions. Zero-knowledge proofs are cryptographically sound but computationally expensive, and the question is whether browser-native implementations can make them fast enough for real-world use at scale.
Both things can be true simultaneously, and the comment thread largely acknowledges that. The technology is genuinely useful for privacy. The entity publishing it also has commercial interests. Evaluating open source contributions from large companies requires holding both of those facts at once.